You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 6th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors, USA, and it'll take you right to our page, and welcome. You see what I'm wearing today? Yeah, I think it looks pretty sharp. You want one? I'll tell you about it later. And, of course, if you miss any of the audio podcast, live show, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and just get the audio. No video, just the audio. You don't get to see my pretty face. Well, that might be a perspective of mine from not your side. I mentioned earlier that Senator Tom Cotton, of Republican of Arkansas, was calling on Republican senators to filibuster the National Defense Authorization Act. That's because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi got hold of Mitch McConnell and beat the hell out of him, apparently. Or they offered him a little something-something to let them put in the midst of that the JCPA. This is the, as Cotton referred to, the payoff for liberal media companies to form a cartel to work with big tech that will hurt center-right news outlets, such as this one. And so he said, you need to filibuster this bill in the Senate if Democrats insist on keeping that in the bill. It's a National Defense Authorization Act, and giving Pulitzer and other such companies power to create cartels with big tech is a money grab, and on top of that, it's diminishing free speech. Believe me, it will. And now this story has come out. This is on Breitbart. I haven't seen anywhere else. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I try to be honest with you about sources just to make sure. The Journalism Competition Preservation Act that they inserted with Mitch McConnell's help into the National Defense Act apparently has a loophole that would allow foreign news organizations, including Chinese organizations, to influence the flow of information to the U.S. This is going to be basically adding another twist to the bill that's been revived from the dead by media lobbyists over the past 2 years, but now they're going to allow potential foreign adversaries to have power and words controlling American press. That alone should kill it, but we'll see if it does. Also, inside the last update on the National Defense Authorization Act, that they will rescind mandates for military members to get COVID shots. And behind that, Congressman Chris Smith, Republican of New Jersey, said, we also need to restore all GI benefits for veterans who got kicked out over those vaccine mandates. Amen, amen. Midterm voters by a wide majority supporting a national crackdown on U.S. employers hiring illegal aliens over Americans. This is a Rasmussen Reports poll finding 69% support the federal government requiring U.S. employers screen potential hires through an electronic e-verify system to ensure illegals are not being hired for jobs over Americans or legal migrants. You look at it racially, a majority, here we go, 73% of Hispanic Americans are in favor of that. Don't let the illegals get a job ahead of legal immigrants nor Americans. 70% of black Americans favor it in this poll. 68% of white voters favor it. And the latest out of Georgia right now is still underway with voting. A lot of it was cast before today anyway. And the last poll that came out 2 days ago before this election indicated Senator Warnock had a slim lead over Herschel Walker. I don't know how far that's going to go at this point, but James Carville has come forward and said, you know, I'm looking at these midterm elections. I see a disturbing, potentially troubling sign. The number of blacks turning out to vote is way down in Georgia. Lowest since 2006. We need to find out why. Now, you do know that James Carville, being a Democrat analyst and strategist, he's not concerned about the black voters not showing up for the Democrat candidates and that black voter turnout being down and all the others. He's only concerned about those not showing up to vote Democrat.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heatback Production.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
In terms of other Senate leadership, we did hear from Senator John Thune. He said he could not disagree more with what Trump had said. He's the number two, the Senate minority whip here. We also heard in tweets from Senator Mike Rounds. He was pretty strong about it. He said no one should be threatening to terminate the Constitution. Senator Lisa Murkowski saying that suggesting the termination of the Constitution is not only a betrayal of our oath of office, it's an affront to our republic. Now, I was just down at the Senate votes. They just took a vote. My colleague and I talked to Senator Roger Marshall, who told us he simply didn't know what we were talking about. He hadn't read the comments. I told him what those comments were, and he said that he thought perhaps they'd been taken out of context, that we should be talking about other issues, other things, like gas prices, like the economy. He did not want to be talking about this, that's for sure.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about. She's talking about Republicans not wanting to talk about Trump's remarks the other day. That was CNN political correspondent Janice Dean. Now, she, I assume, was reporting their comments correctly. But, of course, you have to see the whole game. What's going on here is they want to continue pushing Trump's remarks the other day, which I said were wrong, ill-advised, but also quickly taken out of context, as if they would really care. So you don't focus on the Twitter tapes showing Biden complicit with his son in business dealings when he said, I never even talked to my son about him, showing what was going on behind the scenes in advance of the Trump-Biden election. And with that, the FBI going around to Twitter and the others saying, hey, watch out for Russian propaganda like we saw last time. And all of them said, well, this looks like Russian propaganda again, so we're not going to run it. They were already affecting the votes themselves. That was what got Trump to make the statement on his Twitter machine, his own source, the social media thing, True Social. And he was criticizing that, you know, here are the results of the 2020 election and the way things are being pointed out now, there's a good reason the election could and should be overturned. In fact, then he made these remarks on his Twitter, actually his Truth Social post. He's been invited back to Twitter by Musk, but he's not doing it so far. He said, a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. So what they've done is take, he said, terminate the Constitution. Yeah, he said termination, the Constitution, but they stripped the word termination, just terminate the Constitution, because it rings loud and clear and is simple to say and make an echo game out of, like, don't say gay bill. What Trump added that they often ignore, our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections. That's true. But I did say the other day, it's wrong for him to go down that road. He should have, and it's not just words spoken off the cuff. He's sitting there typing it out and sending it out. Got plenty of time not to do it. Now, I don't mean how many times you might have sent a tweet or something of that nature, or Facebook, a remark to somebody, and as soon as you push send, you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Too late. But then you've got the audacity of the Democrats to lecture us about the Constitution as if they wrote it themselves and they stand by it every day. And yet they have no interest in the Twitter machine tweets being released by Musk. And they're claiming basically that's not fair. The First Amendment to the Constitution is freedom of speech. But here's the White House secretary, press secretary, deputy press secretary. It's not the transgender black, first black transgender woman to hold the position, as they often would promote her. He said, attacking the Constitution and all it stands for is an anathema to the soul of our nation and should be universally condemned. They don't really care about the Constitution. They care about another way to attack Trump, anybody that voted for him, conservatives of any type, anybody that does not agree with them. That's what they're doing. So the more they can throw this stuff against the wall, it will stick at some point, at least in their mind and in the minds of those who are easily duped. So let's go back to part of this report from CNN and NNN political correspondent Janice Dean.
We also tried to speak to Senators Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott. They did not answer any questions about their thoughts on former President Trump's comments. We also heard from his former Vice President, Mike Pence. Here's what he had to say.
I must tell you that I think everyone that serves in public office, everyone that aspires to serve or to serve again, should make it clear that we will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Now, over on the House side, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has so far remained totally silent on the whole issue. We can point, Wolf, to one tweet, though. Back in November, several weeks ago at this point, he noted that he was vowing to read the Constitution, every single word of the Constitution on the House floor when Republicans take over in the new session of Congress in January. But that is really the last thing we've heard, and it was certainly before the former president made these comments. And Wolf, one thing to remember, Republicans, both in the House and the Senate, don't want to be talking about this sort of thing. They had really had this reprieve with former President Trump's comments when he was off Twitter. And now that he's talking more, he's launched his bid for reelection, they're having to talk about it more and more.
And they want to. They're not having to. Now, I say they want to. I'm talking about CNN and NNN. Yeah, there are Republicans saying, oh, man, he fired off another mortar shell he should have just kept in the barrel. And I will agree, But I'll read you this piece. It's written by CNN and NNN. Republicans returning to Washington facing a similar drama that's played out continually in the Trump years. GOP members forced to confront a controversy that they would rather ignore. After days of silence over Trump's call to terminate the Constitution, several top Republicans have now condemned it. But even though speaking out, few have said it should disqualify Trump from running again for the White House, while many more Hill Republicans are silent. And you heard her quote some of them, and Senator Thune had said, I swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, a bedrock principle. So did Biden. So did Alejandro Mayorkas, who are creating treason by allowing illegals to enter our country constantly without being vetted, threatening the security of our nation. That's not upholding the Constitution. So they mouth the words over here, and they condemn these words over here, and you're supposed to just, whatever they tell you is the correct thing, that's what you should buy. And they can find some willing Republicans to come on CNN and NNN and make some noise for them as well. For instance, former Ohio governor, got an R behind his name, John Kasich.
Now I think the circus is sort of leaving town. There's probably still a few people going to the circus or want to go to the circus, but he's just really, this is just, it's just ridiculous, isn't it, what you hear? And I don't know who could be advising him, but I can tell you, he's whatever he's thinking, he's gaining here. I mean, and then of course that dinner he had with the racist anti-Semite. It's one thing after another. So I think, as I say, I think the circus is leaving town, and people have about had enough.
Well, he's entitled to say that, but of course he's not a Trump lover anyway. You do know. Let me remind you, because they didn't bother reporting it on CNN and NN. He was a candidate in the 2016 presidential campaign. He was the 69th governor of Ohio at that point, announced that he was going to run to be president the same time that Trump and Cruz and Rubio and, I don't know, a total of 15 others all said the same thing. So he was running against Trump. You know what he did? He earned 154 delegates. He won only one contest, his home state of Ohio. That doesn't mean what he said is wrong. It's just a fact they're not letting you hear that part of the story to point out that he was one time a Trump opponent. And then you come to this Twitter that they all are trying to cover up everything about Trump's remarks. They want to cover you up over and over with what Trump said, even if it's edited in a way that doesn't really give you the whole thing. They want to cover that all up because they don't want you focusing on Twitter. But California Congressman Conin the other day on CNN, Congressman Ro Conin, did a piece, an essay, saying that we need to stand for the First Amendment. Here these guys say they want to support the First Amendment, but they're not supporting it. He's the only Democrat that has stood up and done this, and he was asked by the questioner on CNN when it came to, do you think maybe the FBI was also involved in putting pressure on Twitter?
Do you have concern, though, and I understand you're focused on the First Amendment part of it, but do you have concern that part of the reason it appears Twitter suppressed it was because the FBI was sort of leaning on this idea of Russian disinformation, hacking, and Hunter Biden?
Well, I would say let's be transparent about everything. I would be very surprised if the FBI was doing that under the Trump administration, given that President Biden at the time was just a candidate, didn't have control over the levers of government. But I think it's perfectly appropriate to ask the question and to have full transparency and let the facts come out. And so the FBI should explain what they were doing and what the rationale was. I certainly hope that and expect that they weren't trying to do it to bias Twitter for a particular candidate.
But they were. You're going to hear more from Congressman Conin coming up in the next segment. But he assumes because Biden wasn't the president, he had no control of the White House. He's also assuming, I mean, over the FBI, he's also assuming Trump did. No, Trump didn't have control of the FBI either. James Comey and the group inside doing their little swamp dance had control. I'm looking at a piece written the other day. I hadn't had time to get to it, written by Victor Davis Hanson. How corrupt is a corrupt media? Now, Hanson is a distinguished fellow for the Center for American Greatness, Stanford University's Hoover Institute. He said the current media, loosely defined as old major newspapers like New York Times, Washington Post, network news channels, he said they're all corrupt. They're corrupt. They've adopted in their news coverage a utilitarian view that noble progressive ends justify almost any unethical means to obtain them. He said the Hunter Biden laptop story is a perfect example. Social media branded it the authentic laptop as Russian disinformation. That was a lie, but the deception did not stop them from censoring and squashing those trying to report the truth. He said the media does not just suppress, but concocts. He added the entire Russian collusion hoax. Robert Mueller's 22-month, $40 million investigation was a complete waste of time, but on the other hand, an effective effort to destroy the effectiveness of an elected president. So see, they got a win anyway. Didn't prove Russian collusion, but they had Trump handcuffed so much that who knows what he could have accomplished if he hadn't been fighting that on a daily basis. Who knows what other president could have withstood the test they were putting him under constantly. Waterboarding is what it amounted to. Coming up, more from California Congressman Khanna about the Twitter. For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, County Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
No one is saying, at least I'm not saying, that any of the sensational pictures or photographs concerning Hunter Biden should be out there. That's not what this was about. This was about a journalist at the New York Post writing an article about the situation. And there's no justification for suppressing that. Even if the source of that had gotten that information through something that was hacked, that was the case of the Pentagon Papers. Journalists should be allowed to publish things as long as they aren't participating in the hack.
That is, again, Congressman Ro Khanna, Democrat, California. I know you're thinking, a Democrat saying that? A Democrat and out of California? There's a breath of fresh air there, is there not? He's saying it was not wrong for the reporter to do the story about how the Hunter Biden laptop surfaced, what was in it. It was wrong for the other news outlets, including big tech, to just shut it off, not let it go past the New York Post. He said they're suppressing First Amendment rights. The reporter simply doing the job. They were not part of the hack. They've been given, it was never a hack anyway. They were given information and had obviously access to what was on the computer so they could verify it. And it was a laptop from hell coming out just weeks before the election between Biden and Trump. There you have the reason as to why the state-controlled media, along with the Justice Department, the Attorney General's Office, the FBI, and who's ever in charge of D.C. sanitation, which has to be a big job on a constant basis, went in and said, shut that story down. It's probably more Russian disinformation. But Kana actually came forward and said, no, we need to know this. This is what our Constitution is built around. And so he did a little essay and a comment about this is why it should be there. He's being questioned about the fact that he did it and they didn't really get any support. In fact, as he's appearing on CNN, he's asked about, you know, you did all this. And you say the simple issue was the report was censorship, nothing else. And that was something that should have been pointed out and covered. And he said, no, I didn't get anyone else.
I would be very surprised if the FBI was doing that under the Trump administration, given that President Biden at the time was just a candidate, didn't have control over the levers of government. But I think it's perfectly appropriate to ask the question and to have full transparency and let the facts come out. And so the FBI should explain what they were doing and what the rationale was. I certainly hope that and expect that they weren't trying to do it to bias Twitter against a particular candidate.
Yeah, you'd certainly hope that, right? But as we said earlier, they did. That's exactly what they were doing. And no, he did not get support from any other Democrats. They were all silent. And yet you got CNN making a big deal out of few Republicans want to come forward and defend Trump for his remarks to terminate the Constitution. He does have those two words, or a form of the word terminate, termination, and Constitution in the same sentence. But he's talking about our founding fathers would not allow such fraudulent elections, fake elections to be held. But they're twisting it and spinning it the way they will. And when the wind blows the right direction, the vane will turn and face you and make you decide, do you want to support getting rid of the Constitution? No. Does Trump hate the Constitution, as Mika Brzezinski was saying yesterday? No. Does he hate fraudulent elections? Yes. And I say the same. Before we wrap up today, I want to tell you about the morality police in Iran. They supposedly were backing off enforcing women wearing hijabs a certain way or being in prison. That's a lie. And there's another story you want to hear with that. But coming up next, Crime Prevention Research Center has found links between immigrants and crimes. And when they say immigrants, they're not just talking about illegals. The connection is not just in the U.S. of A. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Taylor, so
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, John Lott. He's with the Crime Prevention Research Center that's focusing on academic quality research on relationship between laws and ownership of use of guns and so forth and crime. John, I want to get into a report that you and James Varney did, Real Clear Investigations, on immigrants being involved in crimes. But before I do that, what's your thought on this Oregon law they've been trying to push forward, limit magazines, and gun owners have to pay something like a $55 to $60 permit fee to just to get the permit? Now, I'm all for them having training. I mean, every gun owner should have proper training and know how to properly handle it and be ready to use it and protect it from kids. But they're basically trying to price them out of the market. What's your thought?
Well, my own guess is that a lot of the law will be found unconstitutional. You know, in the Bruin decision that the Supreme Court handed down earlier this year, they said, look, first of all, you look to see what the Constitution says. If it's not clear, you go and look at the debate. If that's not clear, you go and look at the laws that were in existence at, when that part of the Constitution was put together. And what you find is that there were no mandatory training rules that were in existence back then. You look at even concealed carry. The first real training requirements were in the 1970s and 1980s. And, you know, the problem with mandated training by the government is, particularly in a place like Oregon, which is very left-wing, is they have all sorts of stupid things that they want you to have to go through in terms of doing the training. So a lot of the lessons are going to be simply why you shouldn't own a gun. You know,
so it's not training. It's not training gun safety and not training gun use. It's basically trying to talk you out of using the gun or ever getting one, right?
Well, a lot of it's that. I mean, part of it, like California, requires 16 hours to go and get training to get a concealed carry permit. 2.5 of those hours are on safe storage, and most of that is on the dangers of having guns supposedly in the home. You know, they don't actually go through the data and say, okay, you know, maybe there's 30 children under age 15 who die from accidental gunshots each year in the United States, and that most of those are by adult males who fire the gun. So locking up the gun isn't going to stop an adult male who's 28 from accidentally firing his
right.
gun. They don't go and kind of explain the data to people.
If they're really giving them training on safety and everything, I'm all for that. But if it's basically trying to just be anti-gun program, I'm against it. So let me jump into this survey you guys did. You were pointing out that violent crime has become common in Sweden, of all places. A lot of folks would think that doesn't happen in Sweden, does it? But you've got, since 2018, 500 bombings, gang shootings, 124 homicides in 2020. And when residents in April found out violent riots injuring more than 100 police, what happened in Sweden that suddenly made it a crime center?
Right. Over the last couple decades, they've gone from about 10% of the Swedish population being immigrants to over 20% now. Sweden and Denmark and Finland and Norway are among the countries that have very detailed data of the prison population. They can tell you what percent of the prison population are illegal immigrants. They can tell you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You said one word which just changed the subject. You said illegal immigrants. What I'm reading here just says immigrants. I don't see anything that says illegal. Now, there's a big difference right there. I mean, we're for immigration in this country. We're built on it. It's illegal that we worry about, and that's where most of the gangsters come in. Go ahead.
Right. Well, we do have some data. Look, one of the big differences between Europe and the United States is that we just don't have very good data here on crimes by illegal immigrants or by immigrants. Texas is like the only state now that actually keeps data on what percentage of their state prison population are illegal immigrants or immigrants. Arizona used to have that. Arizona data would show that legal immigrants were actually much less likely to go and commit crime than the general population. Illegal immigrants were much more likely to go and commit violent crime than the general population.
I'm going to ask you to repeat that because I want to make sure everybody understood. You're saying illegals were more likely to commit the crime, and legal immigrants were less likely, correct?
That's right.
Okay, well, make sure we heard you correct. Go ahead.
But yeah, unfortunately, whether it's Missouri or whether it's any other state in the United States, they just don't keep that type of data anymore.
Why?
Or they never kept it to begin with.
Why?
I guess it's just politically, not correct to have that type of data.
So I knew the answer before I asked it again. Go ahead.
There are a number of countries in Europe. I mean, one of the big differences is that when you're talking about the European Union, you're talking about individual countries. You know, they're kind of the equivalent of our states that are here. You know, we just have general information on the number of illegals that are coming in, and that's just rough. So we think during the Biden administration, there's been about 5.5 million more illegal immigrants that have come into the United States. The data that we were using for the European Union is we have data on the number of non-citizens that are in the different countries. We have some data on the number of illegal immigrants that are there, but the one that's across all the countries there are the number of non-citizens that are in the different countries. And that's exploded. You know, there's been a big increase that they've had there. And what you find, and look, it's pretty clear that there's some legal immigrants that commit crime at very low rates. There's some, non-citizens in Europe who commit crime at very high rates. So, the ones that do at high rates are from Asia or basically Asia Minor or Africa. The ones that committed at low rates are from like South America or from far East Asia. They committed at low rates. It varies a lot.
Does this information, I mean, I agree with you that it's probably not done here because it would expose how dangerous it is with all the now 2.5 million illegals coming in since Joe Biden took office. But does it also end up basically broad stroking every illegal? I mean, there are some that are coming here, they truly just want a new life and a new job. I understand that, but we have a legal way for them to come in. We got other legals trying to get in. They got to wait behind the illegals coming in. But some will say again that you must hate immigrants at all. But that's not what the point of the study was. It was just trying to show who's doing the crime and who's being documented and who's not even bothering to document.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with immigrants. And the vast majority of immigrants, I'm sure, are very law-abiding. It's just a question of, you know, which group commits crime at relatively high rates or not. And, I think you look at Texas data, which is the only state that I know of right now that keeps track of this stuff. And you look at rapes by illegal immigrants are about 75% higher than their share of the state population, their share of the state prison population. For murders, it's like 34% higher.
That's a considerable difference. Considerable difference. But I had a survey earlier, and I don't have it here in front of me, that basically was asking a mix of black, white, and Latinos as to what they think of those coming in the country to get jobs and being hired, if they came in illegally, being hired over Americans or legals already here. And a majority of each of those racial categories said, no, you should come legally or you don't get ahead of me. John, I want to thank you very much. That's a fascinating study on the links between migrants or immigrants, we should say, in crimes, and some illegal and some not illegal. Thank you very much for your time, John.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, I mentioned to you that they had these morality police in Iran. I mean, and they are vicious. They supposedly were going to quit enforcing it because of all the protests in Iran. No, they're not. And I'm also going to tell you about how the Walmart family is funding LGBTQ drag queen events in front of children. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Ayatollahs would never end the morality police. It's essential to what they view as an Islamic revolution that they're spreading around the world. What President Biden should do is proudly and loudly support the brave Iranians who are yearning for freedom and risking their lives to protest the theocratic dictatorship in that country. We should also put an end to the farce of the negotiations with Iran over Iran's nuclear program. We should reimpose the sanctions that would stop Iran from getting the billions of dollars it needs to spread terrorism, or for that matter, to provide the drones that Russia is now using to attack innocent civilians in Ukraine. Iran is an outlaw rogue regime. We can never trust it, and we should do everything we can to support those brave Iranians who are protesting it.
Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas, right to the point. First of all, there have been reports, allegations going around that the morality police in Iran had been withdrawn. They were the ones going around, and if a woman was not correctly wearing her hijab, which is to cover her face, everything except for her eyes, they were grabbing her and taking her and doing whatever they wanted to. One woman died like that, and thousands went into the streets, despite the Iranian authorities threatening them. More came. And then you saw what happened to the Iranian team at the World Cup. They wouldn't even sing their Iranian song. They were just mouthing. And then they lose. And a former intel officer said every member of the team and their families are going to face some harsh punishment when they go back to Iran. I have no doubt of that. And yet the Biden administration is all about trying to buddy up and cozy up and come up with another Iran nuclear deal that Obama put together, in addition to sending a plane load of cash in the middle of the night to Iran. All of this, and I don't hear the LGBTQ community and many of them now serving in the White House standing up and saying, Mr. President, you need to call this out. This is wrong. And you know, in Iran, if you identify as gay, they'll kill you. Your head will come off after they push you off the highest building they can find and stone you if you happen to survive. Their Sharia law is that tight and that demanding a punishment. I'm reading today in Deuteronomy, and say it was saying words to the effect of, I am a merciful God, but I'm a jealous God. And if you do not follow my laws, I will punish you. Then, of course, that's Old Testament. New Testament brings in Christ, which gives you a chance to have some salvation for your sins. Because I could not, I pray every night, please do not punish me for my sins. And please forgive me. And certainly don't let my sins fall upon my children, because that's also in the Bible. So these folks that are in the White House, all pushing the woke agenda, and especially LGBTQ, they should be harassing Biden on a daily basis. Quit dealing with Iran. Look what he's doing to women and what he's doing to anyone who identifies as homosexual in Iran. They won't say a word here either. It's as if they're standing in front of the Ayatollah instead of Joe Biden. Heritage Group, I was looking for verification before I put this out. The Heritage Group has verified that, yes, Walton-funded groups of the Walmart Foundation are sponsoring and have sponsored drag shows and story hours for kids. The Equity, rather the Equality Crew, a beneficiary of the Walton's 2021 LGBTQ Plus Advancement Fund, hosted a children's event during one of their pride parades back in June, and they scheduled back-to-door night for LGBT plus youth at the Fayetteville Public Library over the summer. These are second-generation heirs of Sam Walton. And in their own home state, these Walton-funded groups and the foundation have sponsored local drag shows and story hours for kids. I will tell you right now, and I never met Sam Walton, but this is not anything he would put up with. Well, he's gone, and they've got money up on top of money. In 2018, the Walmart and Walton Foundations donated $2.5 million to fund a three-year training program in diversity, equity, and inclusion for Northwest Arkansas. They've been giving money left and right to support these things. I told you in this program, we're going to fight for the unborn, and we're going to protect woke predators from our kids. That's one place we will start. I also mentioned to you, watching us live on YouTube, or when you watch it later, if you can't watch it now, you notice the shirt and cap I have on. You can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, look for the shopping basket. You'll find where you can get one if you would like as well. And I encourage you again to share with others about this program. Share some of the rumbles. Send it on to them or let them link up to it. I thank you for your support. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.